Heavenly Father, I come before you right now in the mighty name of Jesus. I come in the name of Jesus, first of all, this afternoon, repenting of every sin that I've committed knowingly or unknowingly, what's in my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds. I'm asking you, Lord, to forgive me, create in me a clean heart, and renew in me a right spirit. I'm asking you, Father, to take me out of the flesh and allow your Holy Spirit to rise up in me. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. You are welcome, Holy Spirit, into this service on this afternoon. You are welcome to rest, rule, and abide, Lord, to tabernacle with us on today. And I'm just asking you to take over today, Lord God. That, Father, you will not allow me to speak what I want to speak, but let me only speak what your Spirit gives me utterance to speak. And so then, Lord, we just thank you in advance, Lord God, for the things that you're doing and the things that you're getting ready to do, Lord. In Jesus' name. I pray now. Lord, just have your way. Lord, we praise you even now. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I give you back this service even now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. Lord, we praise you. You're an holy God. You're an holy God. You're an holy God. You're an holy God. Hallelujah. O seria no loco. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you. Lord, we love you. Lord, we Lord, we love you. Shelly Ababa shed it in your door. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we adore you. Lord, we adore you. Hallelujah. 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 Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love you, Jesus, because he first loved me. I'm singing, oh, how I love you. Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because he first love me. I'm singing, oh, how I love Jesus. He alabo shede. Oh, telebo sandalabo. How I love Jesus. How I love Jesus, Ilando, because he first loved me. Oh, he me. Come on and praise him, hallelujah. Come on and praise him, hallelujah. For the Lord thy God is worthy. He's worthy to be praised. Oh, glory to God, hallelujah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord.
I will bless the Lord, all my soul, in all that is within me. I will bless His holy, His holy name.
Hallelujah. Come on and bless Him. Hallelujah. Come on and bless the Lord with me. Come on and magnify His name. Come on, let's exalt His name together. I will praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Hallelujah to the great I am. For the Lord thy God is holy. He is holy. Every answer is in Him. Every way is in Him. Hallelujah, Lord.
Shebako.
I will bless you. I will bless you.
Oh, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. For He alone is worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. I want to magnify the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on, exalt His name.
If you have your Bibles, go with me to Ephesians chapter 6. And in Ephesians chapter 6, it says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, and singleness of your heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of persons with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as ought to speak, but that ye also may know my affairs, and how I do. I'm sorry, I'm going to stop right there on verse 20, I'm sorry. Let me go to another translation. I want to go to the basic English. It says, children, do what is ordered by your fathers and mothers in the Lord, for this is right. Give honor to your father and mother, which is the first rule, have a reward, so that all may be well for you and your life may be long on the earth. And you fathers, do not make your children angry, but give them training in the teaching and fear of the Lord. Servants, do what is ordered by those who are natural masters, having respect and fear for them with all your heart as to Christ. Not only under your master's eye as pleasers of men, but as servants of Christ, doing the pleasure of God from the heart. Doing your work readily as to the Lord and not to men, in the knowledge that for every good thing anyone does, he will have his reward from the Lord. If he is a servant of he is free. And you masters, do the same things to them, not making use of violent words, in the knowledge that their master and yours is in heaven, and he has no respect for a man's position. Lastly, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. Take up God's instruments of war, so that you may be able to keep your position against all the deceits of the evil one. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against authorities and powers, against the world rulers of this dark night, against the spirits of evil in the heavens. For this reason, take up all the arms of God, so that you may be able to be strong in the evil day. And having done all to keep your place, take your place then, having your body clothed with the true word, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, be ready with the good news of peace as shoes on your feet. And most of all, using faith as a cover to keep off all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take salvation for your headdress and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. With prayers and deep desires, making requests at all times in the Spirit, and keeping watch with strong purpose in prayer for all the saints. And for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, to make clear without fear the secret of the good news, for which I am a representative in chains, and that I may say without fear the things which it is right for me to say. If I was to have a title on today, it would be The Battle Is On. When we sit back and we look at Ephesians chapter 6, there's a lot of things that go on in my mind. And God dealt with me about it, guys. It was something else I thought I was going to be talking about today. And the Spirit of God really dealt with me about this, because when I look across the church, I see that majority of the church do not understand this scripture. I want to kind of focus really, truly from verse 10 on down. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let me tell you something. I'm giving this word right now. There's people right now that really need to be online for this. You know, folks text me about different things. Give me one second. I want to... Give me one second. And so, When I looked at this lesson on today, the Spirit of God, you know, really dealt with me about it. He said, okay, so go back to verse 10. It says, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrest not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel. Now, see, what gets me about this chapter, and I know I've taught on this chapter before, but a lot of people don't get it. No matter how much I preach and I teach it, I understand that people do not get it. And you show that you get it through your action. And so when you're looking at this scripture, it says, you know, be strong in the Lord. In verse 10, you know, it said, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Looking at basic English, it said, lastly, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his power. The reason why people don't have no strength is that they're not doing it in the Lord. They're doing it in their own self. And if you're doing it in your own self, then you get wore out. You get, where you could have all these little different things going on. Because some of the stuff that I get text messages on and some of the prayer requests and stuff I have, I'm like, Lord, people don't understand you whatsoever. And my thing is, my question is, part of it is that Lord's like, well, part of it, they don't spend time to get to understand me. And so he said, put on the whole armor of God. Listen, if you got on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That's okay. Look at it in the basic. It says, take up God's instruments of war. So to put on the whole armor of God, that means you're taking up God's instruments of war. There's instruments of war. You are in a freaking warfare. What the heck do you think you signed up for? I preached a while back that the kingdom of heaven up until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And what? And the men of force take it. The whole point is, you, it's something wrong somewhere where we don't get an understanding that I'm in a warfare. I want to understand why this is happening. I'm like, okay, could you imagine for a minute being on the enemy's ground, and you are a foot soldier, you got a terror flying all over the place, and one of the soldiers breaking down crying. In that state, you would slap the taste out of their mouth. That would really be the order of the day, because if you didn't slap them back to reality, what would happen is all would lose your life because of them breaking down. The enemy flies stuff all the way around trying to target you to kill you. And the people that are supposed to be on the battlefield with you fighting is breaking down. Now, I don't know about you, but that's not a situation I would want to be in. But the truth of the matter is, that is a situation I'm in. Because when I look at the church, I don't see warriors. And I'm not talking about the body of Christ at large, because the body of Christ at large, they're all warriors. I'm talking about in this local congregation. I see some wimps. And I just be sitting back sometimes, and I'm like, okay, well, what did you think you signed up for? This ain't for the squeamish. This is not no rockabye story, no lullaby. You got a real enemy out there that A, want to destroy your soul. B, he want to kill you after he destroy your soul because he want to he want to take you to hell so that he can gloat over it. Because you are a representative of God on the earth. And if he can destroy you, then he feel like he's got another point. He like, point, shit. And the people are so far gone in themselves that they can't even see that. And I was like, God, sometimes there's a scripture in the Bible that said, the prophet said, well, Lord, who believe I report? And sometimes I sit back and I talk to God. I'm like, God, I don't understand. See, because I'm a human being just like y'all. And so, you know, God is always getting on me a lot of times. And I'm going to tell you, God gets on me a lot. He gets on me because I don't be understanding. I truly don't understand. And the Holy Spirit is always dealing with me. He said, well, Tamara, you got to understand the reason why you don't understand is you're an apostle. You don't have the same calling that they have. You don't see stuff from the perspective that they see stuff in. You'll never see stuff from the perspective that they see. And I'm like, God, well, some of the things that they're dealing with in life, some of these things I've dealt with too. You know, and that's why the Bible tells us not to compare ourselves to one another, because that's why he be getting on my case. Because I be hitting back saying, God, I just don't understand the foolishness. I don't understand the weakness. I don't understand the this. And I'm not going to lie and tell you I ain't had no weak moments. But some of the crap that I've seen in the body in this church is just ridiculous. Women just roll over and just let the devil just have his way. You be like, oh, I just let him. Woo, you just do this. Oh, you do that. And the Lord is like, really? God, like, really? And you think I'm pleased with that? You think you're gaining any ground with me with that? And so, you know, he telling us, he said, take up God's instruments of war so that you may be able to keep your position against all the deceits of the evil one. You got a position to hold. If you was on the football team and you was a lineman on the football team, do you, why you hear them say it all the time, sing the little song, hold that line, you know, you can't even hold a line. The enemy is able to break through. He's able to take the points and whoop your tail because you don't have the strength of God, because you're not getting to know him, for him to give you his strength, for him to give you his power, and the enemy is breaking through. He don't break ranks. So then, you know, you sit back and you got to really look at this. If you're a lineman, there's a certain stance that you should have on the line if you're playing football. Your feet need to be in a certain position. Because if your feet is in a certain position, no matter how big the opposition is, you can hold that weight. You can push back. And so, you know, a lot of times people don't understand that it's out in the position of your footing. And if you look down in the scriptures, he tells us in verse, 15? And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In the basic English, it says, be ready with the good news of peace as shoes on your feet. So your position in Christ should be the position of peace. But if you got an argument of spirit, you always got something to say. You always doing something. You don't have on the shoes of peace. Because when you have the shoes of peace on, then you're able to stand. You are able to hold your position. You are able to hold the line. So then he tells us, he said, now check this out. He said, now, for this reason, take up all the arms of God so that you may be able to be strong in the evil day, and having done all, to keep your place. Listen, you got to take up all the arms of God. Why? Because verse 11, it says, take up God's instruments of war. So that you may be able to keep, that you may be able to keep your position against all the deceits of the evil one. For our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against authorities and powers, against the world rulers of this dark night, against the spirits of evil in the heavens. Now, let me stop right there, Pastor. On this week, I had a very interesting week. And in this week, I had to do some things that I knew the devil was really, really ticked off at. I knew he was ticked off at it. I could feel it. And yet God prevailed. You understand what I'm saying? And so coming towards the end of the week, I got attacked. And when I got attacked, this demon is on my back. Now, mind you, he's on my back. And he tells me to get off of his back. I'm like, what? I mean, he's attacking me. He's literally on my back. And he's attacking me. And he tells me to get off his back. Y'all, when I got through out of that situation, because I had to pray out the situation and everything like that, I got all the way up and came all the way to myself and started doing what I do. Y'all, I was falling out laughing. I was rolling. Because I was like, Lord, I said, Lord, this devil, this dummy done said a prayer and told me in plain English that I'm on his back. In other words, he's telling me, stay on the pulse. Stay on the pulse. What you own right now is the doing some stuff to me. It's a, you know, and so, but most people in the church would be like, oh, scared and stuff. Oh, I got it. You know, and I don't get attacked that much, you know, anymore. But I knew I could feel that something was coming, because there's two reasons why people get attacked. A, if you are in so much warfare to where you are beating up on the devil's head, he gonna come to you and do what he did to me. He told me to get off his back. B, you're sitting up there trying to pray and do some things, and you got doors open of all kinds of sin in your life, and he's coming in and he's an attack. Most people that's on the line, you've never experienced neither one of that, because you're so far gone till he's like, oh, it's not even a purpose. I don't even have to worry about it. He's like, they're not even trying anyway. And so, God tells us, he said, for our fight is not against flesh and blood, but against authorities and powers, against the world rulers of this dark night, against the spirits of evil in the heavens. Look, God was already letting me know. Excuse me. God was already letting me know before that all had happened that I was already interrupting the heavenly forces. He had already showed me that in the spirit. He had already let me. I already knew something was coming. And I was like, yeah, because I can tell you, because it was some, it had been some really interesting things to take place. And so, because one of those nights that I was in prayer, I experienced God in a way that I had never experienced him. And I was like, I knew some stuff was taking, getting ready to take place. Because I know the devil is running scared. You know, he feels like, you know, his time is running short and he don't know which way he want to go. And so the point is, we got to understand that we don't fight against flesh and blood. That we're fighting against authorities and powers, against world rulers of dark night, against the spirits of in the heavens. Now, with that said, that's why the Bible said, now you're getting understanding. I do understand some people let the devil use them. That's their choice. They allow the enemy to use them. And so, you know, you know, just like I allow the Holy Spirit to use me, that people literally allow the devil to use me. And so it says, for this reason, take up all the arms of God, that you may be able to be strong in the evil day, and have it done all to keep your place. So you're going to need the arms of God in order for you to keep your place. What is these arms of God? What is this thing? He says, take your place. Then having your body clothed with the true word of God. One of the arms is the true word of God. You got to be clothed with the true word of God. When the enemy sees you, he don't need to see your flesh. He needs to see the word of God. And having put on the breastplate of righteousness. If you are unrighteous, you don't have nothing as a breastplate. And that breastplate don't just cover you. It also got some parts that come around the sides of you and everything. You wide open if you're not operating in the righteousness of Christ. Be ready with the good news of peace and shoes on your feet. So in other words, you're supposed to be a peaceful person. You're supposed to have the gospel of peace for your shoe. And most of all, using faith as a cover to keep off all the flaming arrows of the evil one. How can you have a cover if you're ready to give up so easily? Well, you know, this ain't working out. Well, you know, I've been doing this. Well, why? Well, you just uncovered yourself. You wide open. You wide open. You wide open. I mean, the enemy is able to just bombard you and just slap you all upside your head. And if you're not, operating in faith, then you are, so let me help you out. For those who think that you're not operating in faith, for everything you're doing is based upon your action, what you can see that you can do and how you can do it. And I was kind of saying, you're not operating in faith. And so you're wide open. And he said, and take salvation for your headdress. And it's word of spirit, which is the word of God. Now, he said, take salvation as your headdress. Why is he saying take salvation as your headdress? Because he told us, be ye not conformed to this world, right? But be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. You cannot fight an enemy with a warped mindset. It's not going to work. And so if you are screwed up in your head, and it's a lot of people on the line that's screwed up. Your thought process is screwed. And so if you screwed up in your head, you can't fight this enemy. That's why you got, that's why he said take salvation for a headdress, because salvation is your mind, your will, your salvation takes place in your mind, your will, and your emotion. It's your soul. So the soulish part of yourself, you need to give your mind to God. You need to allow God to transform your mind that you may know the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You need to surrender your will to God, and where it's not your will, that's one of the problems that's wrong with people, why they get upset, why they don't think prayer and all that stuff, because God is not doing it according to your will. And you have issues with that. And your emotions, people get all freaked out and emotional when things are going on. I just be sitting back looking at it, but I ain't never seen so many emotional people in all my life. And God is like, okay, so what part of this do you not understand as to why things are not happening as swiftly as we would like for it to happen in the spirit realm? Because what you echo out, what you send out in the spirit realm, it's going to come back to you. So if you echoing out faith, faith is going to return back to you. If you're echoing out fear, fear is going to return back to you. You got to make sure you put on the whole armor of God, that you'll be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Why? Because we're in an hour where the enemy is using his full artillery against the saints. And if you are somebody that's not equipped, you're wide open. You are wide open. Wide open for him to do all kinds of things too. And so he said the battle is on. The battle is on. And so we need to know that the battle is on. Okay, let me go to these other scriptures right quick, God, what I'm going to give. We have to learn how not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge the Lord, allow him to direct our path. Glory to God. You got to know that God is calling us to walk in the spirit. Let's talk about the armor that's provided. In Romans chapter 13, verse 12, it says, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. So you got to put on the armor of light. Let me see if I can get that in another translation. Hold on, because I want to see. I just want to read that in another translation. It's Romans 13, 12. Okay, Romans 13:12 says, the night is far gone and the day is near. So let us put off the works of the dark, arming ourselves with light. How can you arm yourself with light if you're dabbling in darkness? You can't, you're not gonna be able to do it. And so then in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 7, it says, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. Okay, these are weapons. He's telling you about weapons. I'm gonna do this one in another translation because I want us to hear what God is saying, because it's important. It's this. I guess I don't understand, because you know, and I told you the Lord is always getting on me as to why I don't understand. So we got 2 Corinthians chapter 6, and we're looking at verse 7. It says, in the true word, in the power of God, with the arms of righteousness on the right hand and on the left hand. Now, if you go up to verse 6, it says, in a clean heart and knowledge and long waiting and being kind in the Holy Spirit is true love. In the true word, in the power of God, with the arms of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. You got to understand that God is calling us to truth. So you got, in order for you to operate in light, you got to operate in truth. And there's a lot of people that operate, and that's another thing God was telling me about, why a lot of people still get attacked by demons, because you a liar. The Lord said you lie about certain things that have taken place in your life, which is stupid in the first place. I don't understand it, and I don't want to understand it. And he is like, because of that, the enemy has a foothold in your life because you are lying. You are more concerned about what people think about you than you are your very soul. And so anytime you are lying about these things, you have no freedom. You will never be delivered. You will never be set free, because the enemy got you bound in your mind off of you, off of you, what your image is. You don't have an image. An image of darkness is what it is until you become conformed to the image of Christ. Okay, now let's, Ephesians chapter 6. First Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. It says, but let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet, the hope of salvation. So here we go in Thessalonians again, giving you another version of Ephesians chapter 6. They're telling you that the breastplate is faith and love. You know, over on the other other part, it was telling us the breastplate let me go back to it. Loins girded about with truth, that the breastplate was your truth. But over here, they telling you that the breastplate in Thessalonians is faith and love. So, you know, truth, faith, and love go together. You understand that? Truth, faith, and love goes together. How can you operate in faith if there's no truth there? And then Paul let us know that you can have all the gifts, you can do all this stuff, but if you don't have no love, then you are sounding brass, you are a tinkling cymbal. If you don't have the love of God in your heart, you can say all the words that you want to say. It means absolutely nothing if it's not powered by love of God. Because when you have the true love of God, you don't care if somebody outdo you or this and that. You just care about God's glory being released because you really love the Lord. Okay, so then let's go over to let me give you the last few verses and I'm gonna close it out. I'm not doing anything to this volume. That's not this. They don't have anything to do with me. Y'all, every week we talk about this, and I tell y'all the same thing all the time. My volume is set. That's not me. I'm not doing anything to the volume. It's the enemy. It's the prince of the power, the airway. And so in Mecca chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "But truly I am full of power by the Spirit of the Lord and of judgment and of might to declare unto Jacob his transgression and to Israel his sin." Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, This is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts." So this power and this strength that we're looking for, it all is by the Spirit of God. And so then in Luke chapter 4, verse 14, "And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about." Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost part of the world." Acts chapter 4, verse 33, "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." So this power, this spiritual power that we're supposed to have is through the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why you must be baptized in the Holy Ghost. In Acts chapter 19, verse 11 and verse 12, it says, "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the disease departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them." Why? Because he had the power of the Holy Ghost. Why do we need the strength of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost? I'm going to read some more verses right quick on this, and then I'm going to close this out. In 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 40, it says, "For thou hast girded me with strength of battle. Them that rose up against me hast thou subdued under me." You're not going to have strength to subdue your enemy if you don't have a Holy Spirit. So when he said that God had girded him with strength of battle, he was talking about the strength of the Spirit. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 5 and 6 says, "In that day shall the Lord of hosts be for a crown of glory and for a damning of beauty unto the residue of his people, and for a spirit of judgment to him that sitteth in judgment, and for strength to them that turn the battle to the gate." So if you're not a person that's geared up for battle, to turn the battle to the gate, you're not going to get no strength. The Holy Ghost don't have no reason to give you no strength. That's the reason why when I some weeks back when I preached that sermon and he talked about that the kingdom of heaven is pressing in, and he said that the men of force take it by force. They taking it by force because God said, "Hey, wait a minute, I see something in them. They want to fight. They want to fight to say, okay, well, I'm gonna get in there and help them." So the thing is, if God don't see a fight in your spirit in the first place, he's not finna send you the strength. Y'all get that? Okay, let me go. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31 says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint." So those who are waiting on the Lord, are you really waiting on the Lord? When you're truly waiting on the Lord, he's saying he's going to renew your strength. "You shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." In Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, it says, "Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." Daniel chapter 11, verse 32 says, "And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flattery. And such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flattery. But the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits." See, that's the reason why I don't like flattery lip. I don't like flattery lip people around me. Because that disturbs my being. But if you know your God, you shall be strong and do exploits. If you are not doing exploits, that means you don't know God. I'm just keeping it real. I know people like, "Man, that's cold, Apostle. That's hard. That's the word, though." Didn't I read it in black and white? I read it in black and white. This is not my word. This God's word. Let me do it again. Matter of fact, let me do it in another translation. How about that? Let me go over here. We in Daniel chapter 11. Because when you are a believer, when you are born again and you're filled with the Holy Ghost, there should be some things in your life. That's Daniel chapter 11. That's verse 32. I'm going to read it one more again in the other translation. It says, such as do wickedly against the covenant shall be corrupt by flatteries, but the people that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. Okay, in the basic English, it says, those who do evil against the agreement will be turned to sin by his fair words. That's why you got to watch your mouth. But the people who have knowledge of their God will be strong and do well. Okay, so Ephesians chapter 3 verse 16 says that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. Let's do that again. And that he will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in the inner man. I want to do something right quick. I want to pause and go over to these other scriptures right quick because I wasn't going to read these at first. But let me look at them right quick because it's really in my spirit. If I can pull them up. Okay, so let me tell you something. When you're obedience to God, and we're talking about strength, and we're talking about the battle is on, right? So when you are in this battle, you've been called to this battle. You've been saved. You are called to be a warrior. That's why the scripture says a warrior will not entangle themselves with the affairs of this life. Okay, so they may please the one who called them, right? So let's look at these verses. If you're obedient to God, it will cause you to be invincible. And Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 24, it says, and he shall deliver their kings into thy hand, and thou shalt destroy their name from under heaven. There shall no man be able to stand before thee until thou have destroyed them. That is a true statement. That's what's wrong with the saints right now. You're not obedient to God, and so you're not able to gain the victory. Okay, so I think I did a Deuteronomy 11:25 a while ago, did I not? Okay, Deuteronomy 11:25 says, there shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he has said unto you. Let me tell you something. When you're walking in obedience to God, God would do exactly what he said in that scripture. Not only would man be trembling when you come, but the demons are trembling. They'd be like, uh-oh, here they come. They coming. And so Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7 says, the Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come against thee one way and flee before thee seven ways. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 7. And this is all from being an obedient servant unto God. You can't, let me tell you something. When you were talking about being obedient to God, you can't do it when you're ready to do it. You can't do it when you feel like, well, I'm scared. So what? Suck it up. Get over yourself. March on, soldier. Put your armor on. You got the armor of life. And so you suck it up and you keep going. And Joshua chapter 1, verse 5 says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Man, when you are obedient to God, these words are true. Man, I know they true. This is it's like I'm reading my testimony. I'm like, in Joshua chapter 21, verse 44 says, and the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he swore unto their fathers, And there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. And the Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand. Whatever is standing in between you and your promise, when you're obedient to God, if God got to kill people to get them out of your way in order for the promise of God to come to pass in your life, so shall it be. I've gotten to a place in my life that I'm like Moses, God, whatever standing in the way of the promise that you've given unto me, God, whether it's a person or it's a demon, take it out in the name of Jesus. And I have no recourse about it whatsoever. I have no thing about it because I want the will of God to be done. And I'm like, God, whatever your will is, so shall it be. Joshua chapter 23, verse 9 says, "For the Lord have driven out from before you great nations and strong, but as for you, no man have been able to stand before you unto this day." God will cause his word to come to pass in your life. Now, he will give you strength and weakness. In Psalms 8, verse 2, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings has thou ordained strength because of thy enemies, that thou mightest steal the enemy in the avenger." 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "But God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, "And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, would I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10 says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses, for Christ says, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Let me read that verse one more time. Matter of fact, maybe I should take it over to another translation. Let me take it over to another translation. I'm gonna do it just like this. Because you know the enemy, he hates the stuff being brought to light. Let's see. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's look at verse 10. Okay. It says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. But when I am weak, then I am strong." Let's lure it in the basic English. So that I take pleasure in being feeble, in unkind words, in need, in cruel attacks, in troubles, on account of Christ. For when I am feeble, then I am strong. Y'all hear that? That's 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 10. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33 and 34, it says, "Who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens." So we talking about God giving you strength and weakness. So let's get into these last verses about the power of God. In 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 12, it says, "Both riches and honor come of thee, and thy reign is over all, and in thy hand is power and might, and in thy hand it is to make great and to give strength unto all." 2 Chronicles chapter 25, verse 8 says, "But if thou wilt go, do it, be strong for the battle. God shall make thee fall before the enemy. For God hath power to help and to cast down." Job chapter 26, verse 12 says, "He divided the sea with his power, and by his understanding, he smited through the proud." Psalm 62:11 says, "God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God." Psalm 65, verse 6 says, "Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power." Romans chapter 16, verse 25, it says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you, according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Listen, God has the power. He has the power. We need to operate in his power. The Bible says the battle is not ours, but it belongs unto the Lord. Look, the battle is on. You got to discover in yourself whether you're going to be a soldier, you're going to be a fighter, or you're going to be a wimp. I told you all several times, this is not for the squeamish. This is not for those who are crybabies. These are for those that say, you know what? You know, I'm going to get up, you know, I'm telling you, because when you are a warrior, when you are a true warrior, the devil knows it. The devil knows where to get back. He knows when you coming. So my question today is, what are you going to be? Are you going to put on your battle clothes? You going to put on your armor? You going to go in the strength of the Lord? Or you going to keep trying to do it your way and keep getting beat upside your head? It's your decision. You have to make a decision of it today. Father, we just thank you for your word. For your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Once again, I repent of every sin that I committed knowingly and unknowingly. Was it my thoughts, my words, my actions, or my deeds? I ask you to forgive me. Created me a clean heart and renew me a right spirit. Now, Father, bless your word. Bless your people, Lord God. Help us to hide your word in our heart that we would not sin against you in Jesus' name. Amen. Prophet Junior, you got any announcements? Any words?
If you are paying your tithes and your offerings, you all already know that you go on www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. Click on the donation button, and that's where you pay your tithes and your offerings. If you're a visitor on the line today and you'd like to give an offering, or you don't have a church home and you'd like to pay your tithes and your offerings, you will go there as well. Again, that's www.wearemorethanconquerors.com. And for the members, you all know what the avenue is for you to be able to do your pastor seed and your pastor appreciation. If you purpose in your heart, as I have, to pay your pastor seed every week, then you know you'll be doing a pastor seed today. Thank you.
Once again, if you need prayer, you can text in your prayer request, 214-507-3626. Again, that's 214-507-3626. Or you can email your prayer request on our email. God bless you. God keep you is my prayer. Remember, the battle is on. Are you ready for the battle? All right. God bless you. I'm in the call. Love you.